The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 18 to 26. It's said that each day across the United States, 50,000 people, each day, 50,000 people will quit their jobs. In a recent survey, workers across the United States, nearly 85% said that they could work harder on their jobs. More than half claimed they could double their effectiveness if they wanted to. Question is, why don't we give everything we have when it comes to our jobs? Well, maybe it's because deep down inside, we all know something. The daily grind, every day going to work. We hear the sayings all the time, all work, no play. And for many of us, it's not by choice, is it? Right? Because we get into our cars and we sing, I owe, so off to work I go. It's not by choice. It's the cycle. It's the dreaded treadmill. It's the merry-go-round of life. Albert Camus, in his book, The Myth of Sisyphus, he describes the normal routine of many people. He says this, rising, streetcar, 4 hours in the office or the factory, meal, streetcar, 4 hours of work, meal, sleep, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all according to the same rhythm. That's the reason why he says we are born, then the merry-go-round of life, and then we die. And that's why he declares that life is absolutely absurd. But you know what? This actually goes a little further than that. Because when it comes to our jobs, when it comes to work, when it comes to that we're climbing the ladders of life, that should right there, I did all that work just so I could say that. The ladders of life, do we really gain anything? Is there really such a thing as getting ahead? Even when you ask the people who think they got ahead, if you ask them if they feel like they're getting ahead, do you know what a lot of them say? No. Is there really any getting ahead? Do we really, really find satisfaction in our work these days? Or do we feel like when we go home, we just wasted another day? Just wasted it. Just a wasted day. Many of us feel like maybe no matter how hard we work, we just can't seem to get ahead. No matter how high we climb, we never make it to the top. Or maybe we do make it to the top, but surprisingly, it's unsatisfying. It just doesn't feel the way I thought it would. If anything, in my opinion, feels like chasing the wind, if there's anything in life that feels like chasing the wind, it's the day-to-day labor and travail of everyday work. Family, under the sun, can't get any satisfaction. And the futility of life continues. So Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 18 to 26. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 18 to 26. The word of the Lord declares, I came to hate all my hard work here on earth, for I must leave to others everything I have earned. And who can tell whether my successors will be wise or foolish? Yet they will control everything I have gained by my skill and hard work under the sun. How meaningless! So I gave up in despair, questioning the value of all my hard work in this world. Some people work wisely with knowledge and skill, then must leave the fruit of their efforts to someone who hasn't worked for it. This too is meaningless, a great tragedy. So what do people get in this life for all their hard work and anxiety? Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief, and even at night, their minds cannot rest. It's all meaningless. So I decided there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. And I realize that these pleasures eat from the hand of God. For who can eat or enjoy anything apart from Him? God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please Him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away and gives it to those who please Him. This too is meaningless, like chasing the wind. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. God, I pray that Your word will transform us, that it will impact our hearts. Father, help us to see the truth that You desire. Father, that it will be illuminated and we will see it so clear like the noonday sun. So, Father, I thank You that You'll continue to help us to walk in step with the truth of the gospel, not being distracted by the things the world has to offer, but, Father, to just rest in all the things that You have already given us. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, family, the first thing we're going to look at today is no matter what we do in life, when we die, some of you may have heard this before, when we die, you can't take it with you. Just FYI, in case you didn't, can't take it with us. The second thing we will see, that in the end, in some way, Solomon and all of us will sound like that disgruntled employee and will sing the song, like if you like country music, you know Johnny Paycheck says, take this job and shove it. Then what we're going to see is we're going to find that when we do work under the Son of God, we see that this is a gift and that we will not only take the job, but this time we'll love it. And finally, we're going to see the greatest gift of work ever given by God was the word and the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in that, family, we can rest in it because He will truly give us life and life more abundant. The thesis statement for today is this, family. Though sin and the pattern of this world cause us to lose hope in finding satisfaction in our work and efforts here under the sun, it is the word and the work of Christ that will open our eyes to see the wonderful gifts that the Lord has given to us, meaning that our work in Christ is not meaningless, but meaningful because it brings glory to God. That's the goal. That's the aim. So the first one, first point, point number one, you can't take it with you. In the end, someone else will profit from all our hard work. That's the reality. Solomon uncovered the failure of wisdom and knowledge. He uncovered the failure of wisdom and knowledge to bring the meaning of life. He sought pleasure and he came up empty. He decided to give wisdom and knowledge another try, and he, remember the word, he juxtaposed it with folly, with mad folly, and yet again, he came up empty-handed. So now, Koheleth decides to find out if our hard work will bring something different today. Wisdom and pleasure's futility, family, it might... You know, we might quickly understand that. We could see that. We could all experience. But you know what? When it comes to work, when it comes to our job, that's actually something else. Why? Because we expect our work to give us a sense of purpose in life. Do you know that that's the reason why one of the first things we ask somebody, if you're meeting somebody new who you've never met before, you know, one of the first questions we ask is, what do you do for a living? Right? Isn't that one of the first things we ask? What do you do for a living? What kind of work are you into? You know? Because in a sense, in our culture today, we are defined by our jobs. And this is what I'm hoping that we see today. This is what Solomon is going to help us see today. We're defined by our jobs. And what makes it difficult is because if our culture and society puts that much pressure, and that's our identity, that's our definition, when we have difficulties when we work our jobs, it just makes things so much worse now, doesn't it? Difficulties. It's so frustrating on so many levels. Weak work ethics that we see today, undervalued results. We see this thing called workaholism. People are workaholics. And you know what's sad? That's affirmed in our country today. It's seen as a goal. It's seen as something that you're supposed to achieve. It's a great character trait to have. And we see continued alienation from our employers. And we see alienation from employers' goals, which then causes resentment toward our employers. We see working for companies with bad ethical standards. I don't know if you guys have ever worked for companies with bad ethical standards. That's very, very difficult for us to do. And constant feeling of job insecurity. How would you like to go to work every single day believing that any moment you could be fired? There are people that I know that are working jobs like that. Constant feelings of job insecurity. No desire from the company to gain any kind of employee loyalty. Employees are treated like tools or products. They're not treated like people in some companies. But the problems continue. Over and over again, the monotony of doing the same thing over and over again. Like I told you, a friend of mine in Hawaii, he works for the post office. That's one of the things that he talks about all the time. It's the same. That's why he says he likes to work the front. Because in the front, you do this, but you can at least say, would you like some stamps with that? All the time, family. Are we inconvenienced? And I know my wife talks about this, you know, with her job. He goes, and the inconvenience and sometimes the discipline that happens because of another employee's laziness or incompetence. Now you've got more work to do. All the times in our personal lives, that our personal lives, our family, our personal lives, all of these things have to suffer because of demands that the company puts upon us or because our boss just does not know how to plan well. All the times our bosses are tried to make us do unethical things. Employees, if you are the boss, how about employees that do unethical things? Employees who steal, employees who don't do a good job, employees who don't work hard enough. Some of the owners of the companies who just can't get more business drummed up. I just can't get, you know, things to happen. When competition continues to get the better of us, we're possibly going to go out of business. Others get the promotion. I never get the raise. I never have enough money. No Christmas bonus this year. Too much month at the end of the money. I hate my job. Now, hopefully some of you might have maybe felt some of that at some point in your life and understand the difficulty and the futility that we are faced with. But worse than all of that I just mentioned, to top it all off, in the end, where someone else is going to profit from all of your hard work. Oh, boom, here it is. Here it is. You can't take it with you. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 18. Ecclesiastes 2, 18. What does Solomon say? I came to hate all my hard work here on earth, for I must leave it to others. I leave to others everything I earned. See, all the frustrations that we experience in making a living, just trying to make a living, all the frustrations, all these things, and if we actually do, are able to acquire possessions because we were saving our money, we can spend our whole lives gathering collections. You know, of whatever the kind that is, you know, cards or stamps or paintings, or spend your whole life building a lucrative business, or spending your whole life making your home nice and comfy with all the nice things and nice furniture and all these things, establishing maybe a school, amassing a large fortune. All of these things are great, but we can't take it with us. Sooner or later, one day, we're all going to have to leave it behind. Maybe we see, think about that. Leave it behind, because we can't take it with us. I mean, we see it all the time. Say you got a huge collection. Well, your collection, when you pass away, is going to go to a dealer. The contents of your home are probably going to be sold at auction. Someone else is going to manage your portfolio. Someone else is going to manage your money. Then everything that you have worked a lifetime to gain and to maintain is going to be gone. Because you can't take it with you. It's just going to be given to somebody else. So life's like climbing a ladder. We're working our job and, you know, we're working to do certain things, and we're going to climb a ladder. How many of you guys are getting nervous here? And you're worried about things, and the struggle. You know, because just like this ladder, sometimes taking this extra step is just a lot of work. It takes effort. What is this? 3 steps, and I can already feel sweat building on my back. Kind of like life, struggling, working, trying to do things. And here's the other thing. Then when you're starting to go in life and you're working a job, you have all kinds of not just physical issues, but you start to have mental issues with it, where you have mental fatigue. Your soul gets tired with your body, right? And so you do a lot of work, and when you get to this place, you start to, like right now, I'm starting to have mental fatigue because I am deathly afraid of heights. So my back is not only beating up with sweat, my palms are sweaty because I'm afraid of heights. But we got to get through the fear in life. I've got to overcome fear in life because I got a family I got to take care of. I got things that I need to do. So I've got to make sure that I do everything I can so that I can gain, so that I can get stuff. And so we get to the top of life and we get to the top of the ladder and we reach up and and then it's like we've reached the goal. And then we think, okay, it's all downhill from now, right? It's just living through life. I got the prize. I got everything. I amassed my fortune. I have the best collection. I have the reward. I have the prize. And here I am at the end of life about to enjoy my reward. What do our children do? They take it from us. They get it all, don't they? All of them. See, there's Josh. All of them. Look at that. All of them. They just get it. Everything. Everything dad's been doing all these years. All you got to do is sit back and wait. And here's the thing, and Solomon, he continues to go with this, and Solomon is talking about this unfortunate situation, but Solomon, like he does, continues to make it worse, right? He continues to go, and it says, and you know, it would be nice if when we left things behind, at least I have some hope that if I leave it behind, it's going to go to a good cause, it's going to go to a good person, it's going to fall into good hands. But what does Solomon say? You don't know that. You don't know. You really don't No, this is frustration. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 19. Go to the next verse, verse 19. And who can tell whether my successors will be wise or foolish? Yet they will control everything I have gained by my skill and hard work under the sun. How meaningless. See, as difficult as it is to lose everything, okay, that we can't take it with us, at least we might feel some solace in knowing that everything that we've gone through and everything that we've gained, at least it's going to go to a good cause. But the problem is you don't know for sure. We just don't know. Don't know for sure. And to top it all off, here's the thing, and this is the essence, this is the heart of what Solomon is wanting to get us to see. Let's just say that with all your research and everything that you have done and you have spent your whole life when it came to your inheritance and writing up your will, and it's all here, it's all there, even if your possessions goes to a wise and honorable person, you've got to understand, there are so many fools and deceivers in this world. Chances are, watch this, and this is a good chance, the essence of what Solomon is saying. Even if it goes to a wise and honorable person, chances are that in the end, everything is eventually going to fall in the wrong hands. Eventually, it's going to fall into the wrong hands. The futility continues. Even if a person is wise and good, they're getting it all and they did nothing to get it. And so here's the other part that Solomon is talking about here. Here you go. You're working really hard to gain all of these things, and who's the things going to go for? Even if this is a good and honorable person, you're giving it to people who did nothing to get it. A lot of times they don't even do anything. They didn't do anything to get it. It's the idea they did nothing to get. They didn't work hard. They weren't even there to help me do all of these types of things, and they're just going to get it. You know, a friend of mine told me once about how he had worked his entire life. I climbed the ladder all the way to the top, and he was actually going to be, he was hoping that he was going to be able to take over the company. So he was the vice president of the company, and here's the owner of the company, who was the president of the company, and he worked for them for like 30 years, and just all the way to the top, he was second in command. And here he is, the owner of the company decided, I've had enough of this, I'm going to retire, I am done. 30 years of service, loyalty, doing all of these types of things, the guy is ready to get it. The guy is ready to get the seat. He is going to be the president of the company. And when the announcement came of who the next president of the company was going to be, the interesting thing was, is there was the same last name. It was given to his son who had just graduated from college. So here's the son, did nothing for the company. Went to high school, hung out with his friends, instead of studying, played video games, had to go to college because dad made him go to college, barely got by, passed with a D average, you know, at a community college, got his degree, and now is the president and CEO of the company. Wow. It works. Just how it works. It goes like this. Somebody who didn't work for it or do anything actually gets it. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 21, some people work wisely with knowledge and skill, then must leave the fruit of their efforts to someone who hasn't worked for it. This too is meaningless, and he adds, a great tragedy. Isn't it? Even all of us, we all feel that deep down inside as to how unfair that is. And one man does all the work and another gets all the wealth. It's like in the business world today, you get all this, this man did all the work and everybody else gets all the credit, right? It just is not fair. And here's the thing, family. Remember Solomon. Remember all of Solomon's hard work. I mean, sure, he saw it as futility, but man, all the hard work, all his hard work. He built all those homes. He built all those gardens. He built all those pools. Remember how long it took him to build the palace? And he built the palace. He had an abundance, a huge workforce that he built and he supervised. A huge fortune that he accumulated. This was grand. He got it all using all of his wisdom. He got it all using his skill. The scriptures describe Solomon as being an amazing businessman, really, is what it's saying. I mean, he's an amazing businessman. This is an amazing, amazing man. Ask the Queen of Sheba when we go to heaven. Solomon was amazing. He was an amazing businessman. And so here's the thing, family. When Solomon died, he left all of that to his son, Rehoboam. Now, Solomon did not know whether his son would have been a wise king or not. But we know. We know now, don't we? His son was such a fool that he lost 75% of the kingdom. Gone. You can't take it with you. Dr. Phil Ryken said it this way. Here is one of the greatest frustrations of our existence. We are born with a longing for permanence, a deep desire to do something that will endure or to make something that will last. Yet the under-the-sun reality is that we will spend our whole lives working to gain something we cannot keep. It was enough to drive the preacher to despair. Wow. All of that work, everything, all disappear in one swoop. Wow. Well, point number two, the words of Johnny Paycheck, gets to the place where we're working our job. Solomon is seeing something here that is familiar. Now, I've heard variations of this in my life growing up as a part of the American workforce. Growing up, that I cannot tell you how many times I've heard my fellow employees quit their job and quote Johnny Paycheck while doing it. You know what? Take this job and shove it. That's what they'll say, flat out, to the work, to the boss. And I'm just like, wow. Wow, we just can't leave. We just got to make a spectacle of it. Feel that difficult, feel that hard about it. You know, and it all, after a while, it started to get kind of comical. But the thing is it shows the frustrations of our work. The frustration is not just that we can't take our reward with us, but what we see today is that our work is frustration in and of itself. This is what Solomon is seeing. So he set it all up. Not only are you not going to be able to take the stuff with you, all those rewards that Shannon just stole from me. That's bad. That's bad enough. But the whole process of climbing the ladder was frustrating enough as it is. I got to do it every single day. We've got to go back. Hard work. That's actually hard. Tired. Tears. Toil. Trouble. Traffic. Travail. Trauma. No appreciation. And we struggle with this. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 23. Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. It's all meaningless. The preacher declares it. Makav, ka'ach, pain and grief. Some of your translations will translate that. Toil and striving. I think the NIV actually says anxious striving. Toil and anxious striving. The picture that's given here is one who is working hard under the sun, blood, sweat, tears in the awful heat. But family, we know. We know that it's not that way with just those jobs. The sense of striving of heart in the Hebrew there, it shows and it illustrates the mental demands of our jobs. It's not just physical demands, it's the mental demands. Kohelet is making clear that our very occupation has its own unique set of problems or demands. I don't know about you guys, but I haven't worked a job, even when it was something simple. Like, you know what, I need to get through this next semester of college. I just need to find the easiest job possible. So I did the dumbest thing anybody could have ever done. I went to food service. Because I was just like, hey, you know, working at a restaurant, you know, and just serving food and all that stuff, that's just brain dead, mindless, no big deal. It's easy. All you got to do is grab the order and give it to the people. Cha-ching. Oh, yeah. Even something that we think is simple, it has its own set of demands. You know, you have it in your mind that, you know, and this shocked me when I got there. It was like, you know, you got one table that you take. You think that all you're going to do is take care of one table? No. That's what shocked me. It's like, I'm watching five tables? How's anybody supposed to do that? This demands. It continues to demand. There's all kinds of things that come. So each occupation comes with its own set of problems, its own set of demands. And no matter what kind of work we do, no matter how simple it may be, one of my friends' aunts, she was such a sweet lady in Hawaii. She was older. She was retired. And so she just went to go to Walmart to do the greeting. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. She would just be there and greet everybody when they came in. And, you know, I was just like, wow, okay, that's all you got to do all day long? She would come back tired and frustrated. I'm like, how do you get tired and frustrated from greeting? She's like, I don't know, but I am. Physical toil of some jobs, but our bodies, and we know that happens. Our bodies give out at the end of the day, and we got to sleep, deep sleep. But mental strain? Man, this is the worst, isn't it? The mental strain that we have when it comes to our job. Are we doing enough? Are we working hard enough to support our family, to pay the bills? How are we going to pay that bill? Do we worry about getting all the work that we've got to get done? Are we worried about it? Are we worried about meeting our deadlines? You know, I don't know about you guys, but are we worried about meeting our deadlines? You know, we have a deadline here that we've got to meet. You know, a lot of our jobs require deadlines. A lot of our job has deadlines. Apparently, if you install an elevator, you don't need to. But hey, a lot of jobs have deadlines. And then we got work conflicts. Are we going to get fired tomorrow? Tossing and turning all night long, not getting a good night's sleep. You ever experienced that? Tossing and turning all night long, and I just can't get enough sleep. So much anxiety that we can't sleep at night. And yet again, family, here we are. After Labor Day weekend, this whole weekend's going to go by. There's still no rest for the weary. And that's the thing about even when you take time off to get rest. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, ever since I got kids, man, it's just like when we actually go on vacation to get rest, I come back from vacation more tired than when I left. You ever experienced that? No rest for the weary. All of our days are like this. This is what Solomon is saying. All of our days are like this. Not just moments or seasons in our life. All of our days are like this. It's all meaningless. Therefore, work is as empty and as vain as every other aspect of our existence. If we try to find significance or vain satisfaction in our work, it will only end in disappointment. So all of this, setting it all up to say this very statement here. All of this, hear me, listen up. Young people, listen up. If you make your work your life, it will leave you empty and unsatisfied. And I know that there might have been some workaholics that made their work their life in the generation prior to us that could actually speak from experience. I'll never forget when they asked Steve Jobs if he had any regrets. This guy built the Apple empire, you know? I mean, what more could this guy do I mean, what more could anybody do? This guy accomplished everything. And he sacrificed so much to do all of it. And in the end, he says if he could do it over again, he said he would spend more time with his family. It wasn't even worth it. Wow. It's all meaningless. What kind of difference have we really made in this world? Do we have anything to show for your work? Koheleth would have given the same answer as Warren Schmidt. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this movie in 2002. It came out. It was called About Schmidt. Great, great movie. After retirement, Schmidt looks back on his life, and he was an actuary for an Omaha insurance company. He worked for an Omaha insurance company, and he realized that he had little or nothing to show for all his hard work. And in the movie, he writes a letter to a poor, needy child who he has started to sponsor who lived in Africa. This is what he wrote. He says, "I know we're all pretty small in the big scheme of things, and I suppose the most you can hope for is to make some kind of difference. But what kind of difference have I made? What in the world is better because of me?" He writes, "Once I am dead and everyone who knew me dies too, it will be as though I never existed. What difference has my life made to anyone? None that I can think of. None at all. Hope things are fine with you. Yours truly, Warren Schmidt." So, family, it's not that we just don't get the rewards from our work. What Solomon is saying, that our work is meaningless. But there is a turn. And this is an amazing turn. And I'm hoping that we see it. Okay, I know many of you have come up to me after the service many times and be like, "Wow, Solomon's just a real downer. Man, all Solomon does is depress me." Well, here Solomon does something really, really interesting, but it is so good. He makes a turn. Things took an interesting turn here. Point number three. Take the job, but this time you're going to love it. Because these things are the pleasures from the hand of God. Wow, things took an interesting turn. Something positive here. Tables turned again. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24 to 25. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 24 to 25. "So I decided there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work." Wow, that seems like a contradiction there. "Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God. For who can eat or enjoy anything apart from him?" This is not Solomon giving in, not trying to find something good in the world. It's not Solomon trying to find a silver lining. The preacher is not falling into delusional thinking. The preacher is not trying to even change the subject. It's not the preacher trying to look on the bright side of life. However it goes. Earlier, he concluded that the work was a total drag and that even the pleasures of food and drink could not satisfy his soul. But now he eats and drinks and finds enjoyment in his toil. All is vanity under the sun. And what he's showing us here is he's beginning to speak and to show how meaning comes from the hand of God. That's where meaning comes from, the hand of God. It brings joy. You know, and what he's doing here is he's embracing. Did he not talk about food? Did he not talk about drink? Did he just not talk about the foolishness of work? And he's using those as examples, and he's saying, you can find enjoyment in this? So how can we have joy in this life? Can we have joy in this life? What Solomon is saying is you absolutely can, but it's only with the Lord. Only with the Lord. For who can do anything or who can enjoy anything apart from the Lord? So he's making it clear in verse 25. Verse 25 makes it very, very clear. If anyone is having trouble finding enjoyment in life, it must be because God is not the center of your life. There it is. Bang. Having a very, I'm just not enjoying life right now. I'm just not enjoying the things of this world. I'm just not enjoying all of this stuff. I'm just not having a good time with this. Question is God the center of your life? Simple. Now, this is not an eat, drink, or be merry passage. This is not a license for gluttony or drunkenness. This is a statement that we need to see life not as the end of it all, but that life is a gift from God. And when we do, we will find satisfaction. Now again, this is not coming from me. This is not my opinion. This is coming from Koheleth, the preacher, Solomon. A guy who's experienced everything, a guy who knows everything. He is the smartest, wisest person that ever walked the face of the earth. It's coming from this man. Ray Stedman writes, "Isn't it strange that the more you run after life, panting after every pleasure, the less you find, but the more you take life as a gift from God's hand, responding in thankful gratitude for the delight of the moment, the more that seems to come to you." Amen. Isn't that awesome? I love that statement he make there. It's like we're running after life. And you're running after happiness and enjoying and enjoyment of life. You're running after all of those things because you're trying to achieve pleasure, happiness, joy, all of that stuff. You want all of that. But you never get it. And the more you pursue it, the less you experience it. So what Solomon's saying here is when we pursue God, then it comes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Strange, family, yes, I know, but it's so true. When we learn to receive the good things in life as gifts, we'll find happiness. You know what the problem is with society today? Is instead of looking at the good things of life as gifts from God, we look at the good things in life as entitlements. I got one amen on that. Our society is very entitled. Lots of entitlement. Next generation coming up is very, very entitlement. But it's almost like some cultures and stuff like that and generations coming up, they don't know nothing else but entitlement. And so generations are coming and more entitlement and entitlement, and we live our life believing that we're entitled to certain things. Do you guys remember? I'm hoping you do because I remember. I remember when health benefits were actually benefits. Like if you wanted health benefits, you actually had to go get a job. Hey, Shane, you want health benefits? Yeah, go get a job that provides health benefits. These are the benefits that you receive from working a job. That's foreign today. You notice that? These little things are foreign today. Health insurance is no longer a benefit. It's a right. Entitlements, rights. All of these types of things. So many things have changed. But family, the more we look at society as a bunch of entitlements that we've got to make sure that we get, the more unhappy, the more disappointed, the more meaningless everything is going to become. This is what Solomon is saying. We've got to see everything as a gift from God, not an entitlement for being a human being.
Strange.
But it's true. Work is also a gift from God. And if we can see our jobs and if we can see our work and we can see our employment as a gift from God, then we'll find more satisfaction. It's been true since the very beginning, family. Work, that's a gift from God.
Amen.
It really is a gift from God. Sometimes we imagine that God creates Adam and Eve and they had nothing to do in the garden. But if you remember the story, there was something that they were supposed to do in the garden. It's called work. He gave them work. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. From the very beginning, God created. The problem is because of Adam's sin, the work in the garden, our work and our toil now is cursed. And so because of sin, our labor is trouble and our labor is frustration. But we must remember that we were made in the image of a working God. And thus, because we have the capacity to find pleasure in work itself, not because we're working for itself, but because now we believe that the work that we do glorifies God. Man, if we can get this, we're going to be really cool. It's going to be good. We're going to really be able to understand the rest of this book. According to Dorothy Sayers, she says this: work is the natural exercise and function of man, the creature who is made in the image of his creator. When we work, therefore, we feel his pleasure. Take God out of the equation, we're not going to feel pleasure, we're going to feel trouble. It's what we're going to feel. The way we experience displeasure is to work for God and not simply for ourselves. It's easy to get caught up in our career, our ambition, our work schedule, our paycheck, without ever stopping to consider whether our work is pleasing to God. Both what we do, the way we do it. Difficult work, and I say this, well, Shane, but you know, my job is hard. Well, you know what? If you are a Christian and your life is consumed with God and you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, when you go to work every day, the more difficult it is, the more glory it gives our Lord. I love it when you look at it that way. And I talked to a friend of mine, is that every time he's doing this thing with the letters, my post office friend, right? It's like, this is crazy. Well, yeah, this would be crazy if that's all you think about, is that you're doing it for yourself. But if you understand that every time you do this, you're bringing glory to God, then amen. It's amazing. For the believer in Christ, he's our true boss. He's the true master. He's our savior. He gave his life for our sin. Whatever our job happens to be, whether we work as a teacher or a student, a homemaker, a cabinet maker, a buyer, a seller, an office worker, a factory worker, in food service, I had to throw that in there, food service, financial services, we are working for Christ and for his kingdom. We got to remember that we are working under the sun, not under the sun. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. Colossians 3, 23 to 24. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. Is Christ. See, our hope, family, is found in the word of God and the work that Christ had done on the cross. That's the beauty of all this. Our master's Christ. That's our boss. Ultimately, that's who we work for. And the entitlements that we experience are just like, well, yeah, but you know, Shane, as an American citizen, we're entitled to all of this stuff. You know what? I got something greater than that. Christian, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That's where our citizenship rests. That's who we work for. That's our kingdom. That's what we work for. That's what we strive for. And so if there is anything in this world that's going to bring glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Lord sitting at the right-hand throne of the Father, any of that stuff, sign me up. That's what we desire. That's what we want. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. And here we're going to start to wrap this up. We're closing it here, but I want us to see just one last thing. He says this, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26, very important. God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away and gives it to those who please him. This too is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Do you know what we see? Kind of implicitly, maybe not the direct point of all of this. Implicitly, we see something, though, very, very important. There are two kinds of people in this world. If you were here on Wednesday night, you guys understand that there is one major distinction that's made between people in this world anymore. It has nothing to do with gender anymore. It has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with any of that. If you guys came on Wednesdays, you recognize that there is two different kinds of people in this world. Those who believe, and those who don't. And he's making that distinction here. Those who believe and those who don't. Believers, unbelievers. Sheep, goats. And he's making it really clear here. Those who are under the favor of the gracious God or those who are lost in sin. Now, I know it's our temptation to look at something like this and be like, and think that Solomon is talking about works righteousness here. Like those who do good things and those who do not do good things. This is not the point that Solomon is making here. He's wanting us to see that he wants us to see the careful distinction between people who live under the mercy of God or those who persist in rebelling against God. That's the real sense. That's the real point, the picture that he's trying to get. Those who live under the Son and those who live under the Son of God. Those who work for themselves because they are for themselves, or those who work for the Lord because they are for the Lord. He's not talking about what it is that we do. Right here, he's talking about the identity of these people, who they are. So my question today is, who are we? Who are you today? Remember, there's only two kinds. Where are we? Because by nature, family, we need to all understand that we all desire independence from God. So we live and move and have our being in our own being. Rebellion is in the heart of all humans. We work, but we work for ourselves. We study, but we study for ourselves. We look to find pleasure, but we find pleasure for ourselves. We look for satisfaction under the sun. We work, but we work for ourselves. And family, we do this because of this thing called sin. Sin that infects us. And the horrible, sinful pattern of this world continues to draw us, to lead us, to deceive us. But the reality is sin. And it's in us. And a lot of times, I wanted to say that the pattern of this world and things that happen in this world, it does affect the way we think and it does affect the things that we do. It does. It really does. That's why it's not good to watch certain kinds of, you know, TVs or shows or, you know, listen to, like, you know, aggressive music, whatever you would consider all that stuff. If it does, it changes it. That is true. That the world does affect that. But what we got to remember is that there is this thing called sin, and it does not need the world's help to affect you. Right? Oh, well, we got to keep our children from violent video games. We got to keep our children from, violent TV shows. We got to keep our children from all these bad things. And we say all the, over and over and over again, because if we don't, then they're going to end up killing somebody one day. But what's really funny today is when we hear those kinds of things, we don't hear very much anymore about this thing called sin. How about saying, hey, let's try to figure out how we can get sin out of our young people in the morning. How can we get sin out of their lives? Do you know why? We can blame it on TV, we can blame it on radio, we can blame it on the internet, we can blame it on video games, but you know what? The last time I checked, when I read my Bible, the PS4, the PlayStation, the Xbox, and Netflix was not invented when Cain killed Abel. We don't need help from the world. It's there. And many of us despair. We despair because there's no satisfaction in life. We're walking through life with no action, with no answers. Everything is meaningless. But family, today I'm here to say the right answer is right in front of us. It's there. The answer is found in Christ and in Christ alone. Why is it found in Christ and in Christ alone? Because it is Christ, and it is Christ alone. That's why we can have hope today. We can have life and life more abundant today. Our work, our struggle, our toil, everything, our efforts today can make a difference, and it can be meaningful. But like Solomon says, it is only meaningful if it's found in God. And if we're with God. And so what Christ has done is Christ wants to give us life and life more abundant today. And he has brought that to us. He makes all things new. Forgiveness of sins is here for us today. Divine mercy and compassion is here for us today. Because Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried and he was raised on the third day. All according to the scriptures. It's there for us. The work that Christ had done on the cross. We can be saved from the lostness and emptiness of this life. We can be saved from the judgment of our sin and saved from eternal wrath. All who call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible gives us a promise that God, and it comes as a promise that's coming from a God who cannot lie. He said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And all of this is possible not because of what we do, but because of what he has done. I love it. And the work that he continues to do for us. Now, I did say something, I didn't know if you guys caught, but I said, because our God is a working God. I love that. Because we see like in John chapter 5, verse 17, John 5, 17. But Jesus replied, my Father is always working, and so am I. I love it. John 4:34. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. So family, today, Christian, today, hear me. Let's continue to work with the Lord today. We share in that good work. Well, Shane, how do we share in that good work? Sharing that good work by sharing the gospel, giving people the gospel, by singing praise, giving glory to our God, by loving our neighbor, by praying for God's kingdom to come, by giving generously to the ministry. And we also share in this good work by doing our own ordinary daily tasks in a way that gives glory to God. This too is kingdom work. Our beloved reformer, Martin Luther, said something that I'll never forget. He wrote this. The entire world should be full of service to God. Not only the churches, but also the home, the kitchen, the cellar, the workshop, and the field. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.